ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, today we'll start reading our book, Nawaqid al-Islam Fata. After explaining the meaning of Nawaqid al-Islam and starting with what the author started with in his book, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today, inshallah, we'll continue with his saying that إِعْلَمْ أَنَّ نَوَاقِضَ الْإِسْلَامِ عَشَرَةِ نَوَاقِضِ إِعْلَمْ أَنَّ نَوَاقِضَ الْإِسْلَامِ عَشَرَةِ نَوَاقِضِ. الأول: الشرك في عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له. قال تعالى: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. وقال: إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، we give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has made it possible for us to converge today. How many a time does a man think he will do a thing and Allah does not make it possible? We here today, we had thought that we would converge last week, but Allah, from his sunnah, he did not permit for one reason or the other. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alu. Allah is not asked about why he does what he does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asked, why did you do this? Why should you have done this? Wa hum yus'alu. We, mankind, we are those who are asked. Allah is not asked why he does what he does. It is mankind that is asked why they do what they do. When mankind does anything good or bad, Allah asks them. But when Allah does what he wants, no one asks him. So he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah is not asked about what he does. It is the people that are asked about what they do. Last week we intended to converge, but out of his mashia, out of his will, he decided otherwise. So now that we are able to converge today, it behoves us. It is incumbent on us to thank him for that. We say Alhamdulillah. And in our saying Alhamdulillah, we are doing two things. We are thanking him, we are praising him, we are thanking him subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has done, and then we are praising him by way of asking for more. Because he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, in shakartum la'azidannakum. If you thank me, if you are grateful to me, لَعَزِيدَنَّكُمْ لَعَزِيدَنَّ I will certainly increase my favors to you. So we thank him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alone deserves thanks and praise. We seek his blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the members of the household of this messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and his family, his companions radiallahu anhum, all of them, and on all those who follow his teachings until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Amma ba'd, we today are starting another leg, another in the series of our classes. And we thought that we should read a book that has to do with us as individuals. Usually we Muslims like to complain about what people do to us. But we're taking and paid less attention to ourselves. We Muslims, we paid more attention to what non-Muslims do to us. We paid more attention to that than what we do to ourselves. Our case is becoming similar to what Allah said in the Quran. May Allah forgive us all. Allah says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. These people, at the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, there were some of the people who, when they became Muslims today, in the next few moments, they had done something that contradicted their Islam. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ. Many of them, مَا يُؤْمِنُ, they had hardly believed. They had hardly accepted Iman. إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Except that they soon went back into shirk. This is very common in our environment. You find a Muslim praying, observing Salah, but he has something in his pocket thinking that thing will protect him and preserve him. It's a shirk. Akbar or Asghar, major or minor. So we live in an environment where, apart from things like this, there are also concepts, beliefs, ideas that are far from Islam. But unfortunately, the Muslims are taking them as ideas. Ideas that when a person has it in his mind, the idea is the idea of shirk and kufr. But that is iman to the Muslims in our environment today, unfortunately. So we have thought that, and unfortunately, if this is the condition of a Muslim, he has a lot of problems. Because the Muslim who does not have a problem to fear, no matter his sin, is the one who has not made shirk with Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Man mata wa lam yushrik billahi shay'a dakhala al-jannah. Man mata wa lam yushrik billahi shay'a dakhala al-jannah. Whoever dies not having joined anything in partnership with Allah will enter al-jannah. What about the one who dies claiming Islam while he joins partners with Allah? Aisha. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, it says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ وعلى سمعهم وعلى بصارهم غشاوة ولهم عذاب عظيم. Allah said, ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين. Allah says, ومن الناس, there are amongst people, من يقول, those who say آمنا بالله, we believe it. Although the answer is conformed to the reality, but it's not talking about, so there is no knowledge in it. So knowledge is hope must bring me the condition of a mind, and that regarding an issue. And that condition is what? Of certainty al-jaz al-muwafiqu lil-haq or al-muwafiqu lil-waqi, that also conforms to the reality of the case. Then we say that person has knowledge. The one who got the answer but is not sure, it's not said to have knowledge. Likewise, the one who failed the answer and was sure is still not having in Allah. Allah said, is the one who is talking about the answer and then gives the correct, this is the person who has knowledge. So when the Shaykh said, Allah, what he's saying is that regarding all these issues that he wants us to know, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, but they are not believers. So it is not sufficient to claim Iman. It is not sufficient to claim Islam. It remains that that Iman, it remains that that Islam is actually seen. It is not sufficient to say, I am a Muslim. I am Ibrahim, Muhammad, Abdullah Aziz. It is not sufficient. It remains for that Islam to be seen. Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ, they say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, we have believed in Allah. وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, we have believed in the last day. Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, but they are not believers. So you see, it is not sufficient to say I'm a Muslim. It is not sufficient to say I pray, I observe Salah, I have performed Hajj 17 times. It is not sufficient. Because all of these things will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except there is Iman, without Shirk. Nawaqib al-Islam, they are more than 10. So why has a Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned only 10. One of the scholars, one of the greatest of the scholars in our time, Sheikh Abdullah Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he explained it. He said the reason why this Imam mentioned 10, he says, Al-Asharatu Lati Zakaraha Al-Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, min akhtariha. Min akhtariha. He said they are amongst the most dangerous amongst those things that nullify the Islam. The most dangerous. If you want to tell a person the rules he must follow, those people who are on Hajj, may Allah bring them back safely and make the Hajj an easy one for them, acceptable before Him. And for us, those of us waiting, may Allah make us go safely too. If a person is performing Hajj,
on the visa, the right way. Any individual caught with what? Drugs is liable to what? Death penalty. Do you know that? It's written on the visa. They write it on the visa. If you catch you here with drugs, cocaine, or the like, now death penalty. Is this because it is only that is a sin in this country? That's not the only crime people commit. But who are mean are sorry. It is the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous. So sometimes when you want to tell a person about particular evils the person may face in a place, you start by mentioning those ones that are most dangerous. So that is why the Sheikh has mentioned these things. He has mentioned these things. The annaha min akhtariha. They are amongst the most dangerous of those things that nullify the Islam of an individual. He also said, wa akhtaruha wuku'ain. They are amongst those that people fall into them easily. These things we shall mention. These things. He has mentioned the things because they are the most dangerous and they are the most violated by it. Easily people violate it. Some of that amongst the scholars, like Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Barak, he said, لِأَنَّهَا مِنْ أُسُولِ. He said, لِأَنَّهَا أُسُولِ. He said, he mentioned this thing because they are the foundation. أَوْ جَوَامِعُ أَسْبَابِ الرِّجَّةِ. They are the things that, in this thing, all the others, you find them one way or the other connected to this thing. All other things that make a person become a kafir, a Muslim, who makes shahada to Allah ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, can become a kafir, murtad, with any of these things. And these things, they are those ones that all others that you will find, all other means that make people become kafir, they are connected one way or the other to this thing. So that is why it has mentioned only 10. It is not because all the things that violate an individual's Islam are restricted to the number 10. But the 10 has been mentioned, like the scholar said, because here akhbaruha, they are the most dangerous. Who are akhbaruha wuku'an, they are the most people most culpably violate them. And then they are those ones that all the rest of the other things that nullify the individual Islam are also connected to them. So that is why he has mentioned 10. It is not because all of what nullifies the individual Islam, they are restricted to 10. As we go on, we will see this. Every point he mentions, you will see other issues connected to that point. From amongst the things that nullify the individual of an the Islam of an individual. May Allah make it easy for us to understand and avoid. Because we are knowing them so that we can avoid them. He said, Ayla, Anna Nawaqib al Islami, Asharatu Nawaqib. He said, Al Awwal, the first, الشرك في عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له. الشرك في عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له. Said الشرك, joining partners with Allah, joining an associate. We'll break it down. الشرك, joining associate, joining partners with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. In what? في عبادة الله وحده لا شريك. Joining partners with Allah in the worship of Allah. وحده. And Allah is alone. لا شريك له. He has no partner. So, عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له. The worship of Allah alone. La sharika la, without any partner. When you now bring partnership to Allah in worshipping Allah, This is shirk. It says, Ash-shirku fi ibadati Allahi wahdahu la sharika. Bringing, joining a partner with Allah. When Allah is alone, when Allah has no partner, when a person now brings a partner to Allah, he has committed what? A shirk. So the question is, what is ibadatullah la sharika? If we know ibadatullah la sharika la, then we will understand and mention also the ways. How is it then that a person commits shirk in ibadah? If we know ibadatullah la sharika lahu, it should be easy for us to explain this shirk that this imam is mentioning, rahmahullah. So, ibadatullah wahdahu la sharika lahu, the worship of Allah alone, and Allah is the one who has no partner. Al-ibadah, ulama say ibadah is kullu i'tiqad aw qawlin aw fi'lin. Every belief, everything you believe, aw qawl, or you say, every statement, aw amalin, aw action, amara bihi ash-shari' that Allah commands, every statement, every belief, and every action that Allah commands. Allah says, wa aqimu as-salata wa ati. This is command of Allah. Wa aqimu as-salata, and you all should perform salat. Wa ati zakat, and you all should do what? Pay zakat. It means salat and zakat, they are what? Ibadah. Allah says, وَكَدِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا وَكَدِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Say takbir by way of glorifying Allah. Takbirhu. Allah orders us, go. You should glorify Allah. You should say takbir. So when you say, Allahu Akbar, what have you done? Ibadah. Do we understand? Everything that Allah commands, or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands, that thing is an act of ibadah. Whether that thing is a belief, or a statement, or an action. Salat is an action. But salat has actions, statements, and beliefs. We'll come back to it, inshallah. Salat has belief. Salat has statement. Salat has action. We'll come back to it, inshallah. So this is how we know ibadah. Ma amara Allah bihi. Aw madaha fa'ilahu. Or Allah praises the person who did it. Like Allah says, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah loves those who seek for repentance. It means repentance is what? Ibadah. Inna Allah yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Wallahu yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Allah loves those who make purity. They make ablution, they make tahara. It means to make tahara is what? Ibadah. Every action that Allah praises, the person who did that action, Allah praised that person. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Those who make remembrance of Allah, كَثِيرًا, a lot, وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Likewise, women who regularly remember Allah, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has preserved for them maghfirah, forgiveness, wa ajran azima, and great, tremendous reward. It means Allah likes what? Zikr. And it means zikr is what? Ibadah. So the qaida, ikhwan, hold it. The basic rule to know what an ibadah is what Allah commands, or He praises those who do it, or that He promises those who do it reward. What Allah likes. Because if He does not like it, He will not command that you should do it. Allah likes it. If He does not like it, He will not praise those who do it. If He does not like it, He will not tell you that He will reward you for it. So that is why Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, Al-ibadatu huwa, what kalima, mada, qawlun, jamir, is a statement. Concise, the meaning of concise, it's brief, but it has many things inside it. لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبَّ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَى is a statement that covers everything that Allah likes and is pleased with. Everything that Allah likes and is pleased with is inside that word, ibad. Whether that thing is a statement, whether it's an action, whether it's a belief, as long as Allah is pleased with it, it is what? Ibad. We'll give us two examples. These two examples, they are the basics of ibadah. When they don't exist, the servant is not a abid, it's not an abid, it's not a worshipper. The first one is al-mahabbatu, love. Al-mahabba, love. Love. Allah likes us that we love Him. Have we contemplated before that Allah wants us to love Him? It's one of the greatest aspects of worship. Loving Allah. Ikhwan, let us sit down in our own private time and think whether we really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Mahabba. So if you ask me, how do I know that Mahabba is love? Since we have a rule about knowing Ibadah. Do we understand? Allah said, "Kul." O Muhammad, say to them, "In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni." If you love Allah, follow me. Yuhibbukum Allah. Allah will love you. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. He will forgive you your sins. Allahu akbar rahim. Allah forgives and is most merciful. It shows Allah like that we should love Him. Abi, so it means loving Allah is what? Ibadah. Loving Allah is what? Ibadah. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's ibadah. But loving, there are two aspects of loving. Al-mahabbatu al-khassa wal-mahabbatu al-mushtaraka. Al-mahabbatu al-khassa is the first type of loving a thing. This one is meant for Allah alone. Al-mahabbatu al-khassa. Special love. We must not have it for any other thing apart from Allah. Love, this love, al-mahabbat al-khassa, we must not have it for any other person, except who? Allah. We must love Allah. Mahabbat al-khassa. But al-mahabbat al-mushtaraka, al-mahabba that is connected to other things, it's not only with respect to Allah alone. For example, mahabbatu man wa ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yarda. Loving a person that Allah loves. Like the Prophet Muhammad. We must love the Prophet Muhammad. But you see, there's a difference between loving Allah and loving the Prophet Muhammad. We love the Prophet Muhammad because of Allah's love for the Prophet Muhammad. So why we can say the Prophet's love is second tier, the love of Allah is what? First tier. And the Prophet himself, we are loving him because of the love of Allah. My dear brothers, these things are very important. We must love Allah more than everything. In a hadith, I will bring this hadith later, but let me quickly bring it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said there are three things. من وجدها فقد وجد حلاوة الإيمان. Any person who has it has gotten the sweetness of Iman. Sweet Iman. If you want to taste whether is Iman sweet or not, when you have any of these three things, you know. The first thing is what? أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. That Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to Him than any other thing. When you have this inside your heart, don't forget, ibadah can be something of the heart. It can be something of the mouth. It can be action. Al-Mahabbat is connected to that. Allah wants the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, وَلَقَدْ أُوْهِ Part of it is
أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Look at the dhamair of takhatub. Allah said, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ إِلَيْكَ Muhammad عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ We have certainly revealed to you Muhammad. Allah is talking to the Prophet Muhammad. عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ Muhammad قَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ لَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ لَقَدْ أَوْكَ بِمِنْ قَدْ وَالَيْهِ السَّلَامُ said, أُحُدُ يُحِبُّنَا وَنَحْنُ نُحِبُّ أُحُدْ likes us and we like it too. Mount Uhud in Medina. So loving what Allah likes or loving what the Prophet likes because of Allah and because of the Prophet Muhammad. This is second tier of Mushtaraka, not khasa for Allah alone. For Allah alone is not together with the Prophet Muhammad. No. That one is for Allah alone. The second tier of Mushtaraka. You can love other things. But we love the Prophet Muhammad of all humans. The other type of love is al-mahabbatu al-tabi'iyya, natural love. The love you have for food. Some of us like akamu. When Yoruba, they like odi, eko, pounded yam, amala. This is al-mahabbatu al-tabi'iyya. Natural, instinctive love is allowed. The same kind of love that a man has for his wife is allowed. Although scholars group that under al-mahabbatu lil-ishfaq wal-rahmah. Love that is out of mercy and sympathy or empathy for that individual. We love that person. These ones are allowed. لَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ We have revealed unto you. وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ Not you alone. And to the messengers and the anbiya, rusul, prophets before you. What was that message? لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ If you, Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, if you ever join partners with me, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ I will waste all your deeds. What about the person who is not Muhammad? Few days ago, here, people worship rivers, here. There are Muslims jubilating with them. And perhaps majority of those you see worshipping the river are Muslims. They perform Khamsu Salawah. They might have gone for Hajj. They might have paid Zakah. They might have fasted 30 days of Ramadan. Yet they celebrate that a river deserves worship. This is shirk. So if Allah said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ If you make joint partners with me, I will waste your deeds. What about me? You will waste the deeds. Allah said it to me. Not only that, whoever's deeds are wasted by Allah, Allah followed it. He said, وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ In that case, in that time, you would have been amongst the losers. Who are those who are losers? The man had fasted in Ramadan, he had performed Hajj, he had paid Zakah, he prayed come to Salawah, he even perhaps went to a masjid to make Aitikah. All of these will be wasted. Is he a loser or not? من الخاسرين هو نعوذ بالله من الخسران He is certainly amongst the losers. We ask Allah's refuge from loss. So we have thought that because of the dangers of shirk, because of the dangers of kufr. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that shirk is nearer to each of you, kashiraki nu'ali ahadikum, like the straps of your shoes. The straps of your shoes. As close as it is, or as they are to you, the shirk is closer to you than that. That is, a man would, or a person would easily commit shirk. Easily commit shirk. Anybody It means that it deserves that we pay attention to it. Most times when issues like this are discussed, people look at other people rather than themselves. If you say so can make somebody a kafir, they start looking at people that those things make kafir rather than looking at themselves. Am I okay? Is my iman okay? Is it sound? Because what we must make sure doesn't spoil, that is the last card, that is the last resort. That is the recourse of the Muslim. Once he fails in it, he has failed woefully. No matter how sinful a Muslim is, hear it again. No matter how sinful a Muslim is, he will still enter Al-Jannah at the end of the day if he does not commit shirk and kufr. No matter how sinful he is, it means if he misses everything, if he throws away everything, if he fails in everything, he must not fail in the matters that are connected to Islam, that are connected to Iman. He must not have anything to do with shirk or kufr in any way. When he does not do that, all other things are simple. All other things are amendable. In fact, he can get to the sight of Allah on the day of Qiyamah and Allah say, if I have cut the part to Laka, go, I have forgiven you all your sins. The Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, in a very popular, you are calling a Lord you love, a Lord you respect, a Lord you venerate, you hold in high esteem, you honor. How is that? Is this the state of our conditions when we are in Salah? But that is how it should be. And that is what Allah has asked from us. Al-Mahabbah. Very important. We must love Allah. It's a major rukun of ibadah, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other aspect of it, the second example we will give, is al-khawf. We must fear Allah. Here too, there are two types of khawf. Khawf al-ijlal wa ta'zim wa tazallul lillah. Ijlal, the fear that makes you to revere somebody, I fear Allah. We should have it for Allah alone. By way of lowering down ourselves. Lowering down ourselves. For who? Allah. This is the fear, hope, that will make us live sin. If a person wants to make zina, and he remembers that Allah's punishment is severe, what will he do? He will hold back. And when he holds back, he will remember al-mahabba, love of Allah. And then he will hope that he is holding back, Allah will reward him for holding back. He would have drawn nearer to Allah by that. So we carry the two along, al-khawf wal-mahabba. We hold them along. These two things, people coming to them committing shirk a lot. Allah told us in the Quran about khawf. He says, إِنَّ ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. He said, that is the way shaitan behaves. This shaitan, يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. He does what? He makes you fear him. Comrade. Shaitan makes human beings to fear his people. Allah says, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Is he connected to Iman again? Allah is connecting fear to Iman. So fear is part of Iman. So fear Allah is part of Iman. Let's say something here. Some Sufis say we don't need to fear Allah. Allah says, fear me. Allah says, ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادًا. What I have said, he was describing the hellfire. Allah says, ذَلِكَ, what I have told you about Jahannam, I am telling you, يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادًا. Allah is using it to make you fear him. Khawf. He also said here, he says, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ. Don't fear them, fear me. So why will somebody come and say we should not fear Allah? And when we fear Allah, what do we fear? We fear his punishment. Because the punishment of Allah is severe. Allah.
So these two things. If someone has an idol on the ground, and a person is told, look here, see this idol we have put on the ground. Maybe the idol is even moving its hand. Don't be afraid, so that you don't lose your iman. Do we understand? Don't be scared, so that you don't lose your iman. When, likewise, they keep that thing, and they invite you to show love, bring money, they are making masquerade, they do all that. Someone was asking me just yesterday morning, said it happened in Lagos. A masquerade pointed a staff at him. So he ran away. He's asking, has he committed shirk? I said, wait, when you ran away, what did you think? Do you think that it can harm you? Do you think the masquerade can harm you? If a person thinks that the masquerade can harm him, he is going to the bounds of shirk. Hadith. The scholars of hadith call this hadith, hadithu bithaqa. The hadith of don't fear them, fear me. So if you fear the fear of honor, the fear of respect, that a lot of people now in Ijebuland have for Agema, you say, don't come out, there is Agema. Women don't see it. So they fix all their schedules away from the tent out of honor and respect for Agema. If a person does that, that is an act of shirk. To fear, likewise to love. There are amongst those people doing those things that are said to be Muslims. You hear their name, Bashiru, Azizi, all that. That's all the last one. If those people love this of the kind, and Imam Tirmidhi and others amongst Ashab Sunan have reported this hadith. The hadith is authentic, inshallah. They call the hadith, hadith of Bitaqa, the hadith of the kind. What did it say? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will bring forth a Muslim. Muslim, mu'min, mu'min billah. He didn't die having committed shirk or kufr, unrepented for before his death. So he came or he comes on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say, you committed zina. He said, yes. You stole some money. He said, yes. You lied one day. He said, yes. You did this. You'll be acknowledging them. Because there is no lying on the day of Qiyamah. You are. There is no deception on the day of Qiyamah. Even munafiqun will find it difficult to tell a lie on the day of Qiyamah. So the Prophet said, alayhi salam, it will be put on the scale of his good deeds, and the scales of his sins will outweigh the scales of good deeds. What is that? Wa amma man ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فخففت موازينه. So it becomes that his mizan, his scale of good deeds becomes light, and the scale of evil deeds becomes strong, heavy, overbearing over the other. So Allah will say, where do you think you are going to now? So it is fire. Allah will say, no, there is no fire for you. He will ask the malaika, get off his cart. His bitaqa. That's why the hadith is called hadith bitaqa. The hadith of the cart. Get off his cart. Allah will say to him, because today is a day, la tuzlamu nafsun shay'a. No soul will be dealt with unjustly. Bring his cart. So his card will be sought, his card will be asked for. Where is his card? What is on that card? His kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. His iman, his tawheed will be on the card. His tawheed is inscribed on that card. So the card will be brought alone. And what drives us to that? Two things. Love of Allah, put forward to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah will say it should be placed on the scale of good deeds. These cards on which La ilaha illallah is inscribed will overweigh all the rest of the things he has committed. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah will overweigh all the things that has overweighed his good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. Now leave him aside and take others besides him, evoke him in these matters. That is knocking the door of shirk. Al-Mahabba is one example of Iban, and that is how shirk comes into it. Likewise, Al-Khawf is one example of Ibadah, and that is how shirk comes into it. There are many other examples. But this author here, because of time, has given us the example. We know how to know an Ibadah, no? You know an Ibadah because Allah commanded it, or Allah praised it, or praised the people who did it, or promised the people who did it reward. When you read Quran, when it means that is now you understand the statement of the Prophet Muhammad when he said, "Man ahdasa fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu wa huwa rad." Whoever brings something that is not part of it, that is, that Allah has not told you that he likes, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not told you that Allah wants or likes or commands, that cannot be ibadah. Ibadah is what Allah likes. How do you know that Allah likes a thing? Only two ways. Allah himself saying it, or that the Prophet he has sent says it. How do we know the government of Osun State or state of Osun has issued an order? The governor himself says it, or the secretary to government, or any other official directed to do so says it. So they like it. Those are the officials of government. Are they entitled, empowered to do that? Likewise, you would not know that something is ibadah except Allah himself says it, or who? The Prophet Muhammad says it. If the two of them do not say it, Allah did not say it, the Prophet does not say it, alayhi salat, it cannot be ibadah. And when they now say those things and order out, it means we must not direct those things to anybody but who? Allah. We'll give a third example from the examples that the author has given. Leave the two verses. We'll come back to them. We'll come back to those verses, inshallah. So he said, rahimahullah, al-awwalu al-shirku fi ibadati Allahi wahdahu la sharika la. He now said, wa minhu, yani wa min al-ibad, wa min al-shirk. Wa min mada, wa min al-shirk. Min al-shirk. ومنه الذبح لغير الله. الذبح لغير الله. Slaughtering, doing a slaughter. For who? لغير الله. For other than Allah. So the question, don't forget, we'll ask you, is الذبح part of ibadah? Slaughtering. And nafs. Is it ibadah? Say yes. Question one, pass. Question two, how do we know that الذبح is ibadah? Because Allah commanded us to make that. How did he command it? He says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So pray to your Lord. Salat is ibadah, ko? He says, وَانْحَرْ. And then do what? Slaughter. So we know slaughtering is an ibadah. That means any person who directs slaughtering a thing for any other than Allah is knocking the door of what? If you suggest it for any other thing, rather than directing it to Allah, Allah, I am doing this for you, it is shirk. It is shirk. If someone slaughters, he says, oh, they are doing Oshun, let us slaughter for Oshun, shirk. They are doing Agema, slaughter for Agema, shirk. So azabtu lillah. That's why Allah told us, say, kul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya وَمَا مَاتِي لِلَّهِ بِسْلَامُ لَامُ لِسْتِحْقَامُ Allah alone deserves it, this thing. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ My salam, وَنُسِي My slaughter. So this is another evidence that slaughtering is what? A bad. And it must not be directed to anybody but who? Allah. But there are other aspects of slaughter. There are other aspects of slaughter. Before we come to that, examples of slaughtering for the sake of Allah. Do we remember Aqiqah is one slaughtering we make for Allah? So, how do we know that Aqiqah is ibadah? The Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كل مولود مرتهن بعقيقته يوم السعادة تصبح له يوم السعادة. So we know Aqiqah, slaughter. Adhiya, on the day of Eid, Eid al-Kabir, we do what? Slaughter. Those in Hajj, performing Hajj, no matter the type of Hajj you are performing, you do what? Slaughter. Adaya. So we know that slaughtering is for Allah. And that itself must be done for who? Allah alone. But if a person has a dead parent, and he goes to the grave of the dead parent, say, I slaughter for you, my father. It is what? Shirk. Why? Because it is ibadah. And ibadah must be directed to who? Allah alone. So that is why the Imam said, Rahimahullah, الشرك في عبادة الله وحده. And in the second example, he said, كمن يذبح للجن. كمن يذبح للجن. Like the one who slaughtered for a jinn. Arabs in the past, before Islam. I don't know whether Yoruba do it. In the past, when an Arab built a house, and he wants to go into that house, the new house, he will slaughter a rat for the jinn. So that he will be safe from their evil. That is by way of bribing the jinn. Oh jinn, don't cause me harm. This kind of slaughtering is what? Yoruba too can have different forms. I learned that when a person is building a house, if he makes a foundation, they say it's a slaughter. If they tell you to slaughter, think properly. Think properly before you start slaughtering. If you just want to slaughter by way of providing meat for people to eat, that is a separate case. For example, you may have a visitor visiting. You slaughter so that you can have the meat. You are not slaughtering because of the blood, stealing the blood. That we have to steal the blood for so things. That is not what you are doing. What you are doing is you need meat for entertainment of your visitor. This is allowed. But that so a person is coming to visit us and blood must touch the ground. It is what? Shirk. Especially if you are thinking that if you slaughter that, you take that blood, if you make that person come closer to you, perhaps it will bring a particular good to you, or it will prevent you from a particular evil. When you think like this, this is not in the law of shirk. So he gave these two examples. People do it for the jinn, because they think that the jinns cause harm. And they do cause harm, really. Don't jinns cause harm? They cause harm. Because we don't see them. That is the first thing. The second reason, and how easy it is for them to cause harm, they are very fast. Very fast. As we saw in the story of Nabi Sulaiman and Ifrit, they are very fast. The third reason why it is difficult for them, it is easy for them to cause harm to human beings, is because they can change their form. They can change to any form. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his book Al-Furqan Bain Awliya al-Rahman wa Awliya al-Shaytan, he gave an incident that happened in Egypt. There was a Shaykh who had a student. This Shaykh had a jinn that he was using. He will use the deen to terrorize the people, cause them harm, many other things. He was slaughtering for the deen. And he was a sheikh. I dare not to stand. Let me not call them to stand. Are they not afar slaughtering for jinns? Wallahi, they are. Let me say this here. When they read Surah to Yasin to people, they say there is khutbah to Yasin. The khutbah of Yasin in Al-Fawzul Azim, that khutbah has the names of jinns. Ya Kauka, Ya Ilu, Ya Rauka, Ya Ilu, all these names. They are names of jinns. So that's why they will tell you that they can't read that khutbah except that they feel a blood. And when you say, Ya, it is harful nida. You say, oh, so so and so. Allah says, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا أَخَرًا. Do not call anyone besides Allah. And when they read the khutbah of Yasin, they say, Ya, Rauka, Ya, Ya, so so so. Ya, so so so. They will be telling against me. You know, it's not read the Fawzul Azim. They say, Ya, so so so. Against me, oh, so so so. Help me. They call jinn in the so-called khutbah of Yasin. Surah Yasin is a surah in the Quran. And for that matter, any surah of the Quran can be read to ask Allah for something. It's not restricted to any particular surah. So when people say, oh, they don't want us to read Yasin. No, we want people to read Yasin, but we don't want the people to make the shirk that you are doing with Yasin. So, Shaykh Islam said, Rahimahullah, when it was time for that sheikh to die, the jinn told the so-called sheikh that, look, don't worry, when you die, you will wash your corpse. Do you understand? When you die, you will wash your corpse. So we will have two individuals, one dead, one washing the corpse, and they are one and the same person. So this sheikh told his students that, don't worry, you will see me when I die, I will come and wash my corpse. He said, so when the sheikh died, truly, the corpse was on the ground. They saw somebody like him walking into the house. It was a jinn. That same jinn deceived the sheikh until the sheikh died. And now he wants to start to deceive the sheikh's students, so that the deception can continue. The sheikh himself at death would have known that he was only deceived by the jinn. But he can't come back to life to tell the student that, hey, this one has deceived me till I died. So when the jinn came, it first entered into the house of the sheikh and had sexual affairs with the wives of the sheikh. After that, it came to bath, it came to wash the corpse. And so the students believed that, oh, it was our sheikh that came to do it. So you can find out, brothers, you can hear them saying it. Eh, they saw him in, is a lie. Anyone who dies has done. Between us and them, we have what? Barzakhun la yabghiya. When a person dies, Allah places a barrier between we and the dead. And that barrier cannot be broken by anything. The dead does not come back to life. Man mata qad qamat qiyamatuhu. His own qiyamah has started. What he is facing is more important to him and more serious, fearful for him than what he has left behind. Especially if he was not a Muslim. He's in trouble. So these are one of the ways that jinns deceive people. So they make them commit shirk to Allah. They make them join partners to Allah. That is why the author here has said that وَمِنْهُ أَذَّبْهُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ كَمَنْ يَذْبَحُ لِلْجِنِ. So these jinns, when people want to start using them, they can say, you have to slaughter something for me. Slaughter is at the key junction. Yoruba call it Urita Metako. You know, recently, there is somebody called Temi Fani Kayode. He was a minister of aviation in Nigeria. He wrote an article. You know, about 3 months ago, there was an attack in Britain by a Nigerian who was said to have accepted Islam, who slaughtered somebody on a T junction. You remember the story from the night, even the news. There was a black Nigerian who was said to have, mark my expression, who was said to have accepted Islam. He went with axe with one of his friends, axe. They got a human being and butchered the human being on the T junction. Tell me, Panika, they said it was an Illuminati sacrifice. People of idolatry, they make such sacrifices a lot. Yes. Some of them go beyond animals. They can even make sacrifices of human beings. All these are various aspects of shirk. It is their jinn companion that will tell them to do that. If you do it, I will do this for you. And when they do it truly, they will do those things to them. Unfortunately, they will even tell them, they will do to them what no other creature can do to another person. For example, giving long life. Can another person give another person long life? No one can give long life. Life is already stipulated. It's a decided affair. Inna zalika fi kitab. It's already written, documented. It will not change. So we tell them to slaughter for them. That is why he has used this as an example. And slaughtering must not be done for anyone, but who? Allah. So let's go back to the beginning of our book. He said, Al-awwalu ash-shirku fi ibadatillahi wahdahu la sharika lah. We now know the meaning of ibadatullahi la sharika lah. That there are different types of ibadah. And how to know what an ibadah is. We now know, inshallah. Now, what are the evidences that any person who does shirk fi ibadatillahi wahdahu, that person's Islam is nullified? Do we understand? We have just described what is shirk. We have described what is ibadah. And we have given examples of ibadah and how shirk comes into ibadah. The question now is, what is the evidence that shirk nullifies the Islam of an individual? That is why he brought those two verses. The first evidence that shirk nullifies the Islam of an individual is the statement of Allah in Surah An-Nisa. Ya Allah says, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Says, Inna Allah, certainly Allah, la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. He will not forgive any form of shirk. If you commit shirk, Allah will not forgive you. Any person who dies committing shirk, Allah will not forgive. The meaning of this verse is restricted to death. If a person commits shirk and dies upon shirk. Because if a person is committing shirk, joining partners with Allah, as we have described in other forms, if he repents, Allah will accept his repentance. Not only that, Allah will forgive him all what he had done before. Allah will forgive him. If he has good deeds he had done before that time, Allah will count it as good deeds for him. If he has good deeds he did when he was a mushrik, Allah will write it as what? Good deeds for him. If he had sins he was committing when he was a mushrik, Allah will do what? Counsel it out for him. Look at Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. In fact, this is more of this Rahim. Because this is meant for Muslims alone. Let's quickly bring a hadith on this. In Sahih Muslim, there is a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. This hadith, in it, there was a man called Abdullah ibn Jud'an. Abdullah ibn Jud'an was a wayward amongst the Arabs. Ibn Jud'an. Wayward. You know who waywards are? Guys smoking Igbo, Indian hemp, you know, staying around places. Most times they sit away from people. They don't come in the midst of people. They look for one abandoned building, stay there. In those times, those ones enter into the mountains, the rocks. They go and stay there and do anything they like. He was a riffraff, nonchalant rascal, Ibn Judan. One day he was resting near a cave. You know, when you have a rock, you have caves all around them. He saw something shiny like the eye of a snake. He thought it was a python that was coming to him. He stood up and started running. He ran away. Something occurred to him. Why are you running away? Have you seen the snake? So he started coming back. I'm a man now. How am I running away? After I've shot, after I've done it, something like that. So he started moving towards the direction. Let me see that thing pursuing me. As he was approaching, he was finding out that it was not a snake after all. As he was approaching, he was finding out it was not a snake after all. When he got to it, it was a treasure containing gold, silver, diamonds, jewelry. You know, in those days, people go and bury them in caves. So it was a treasure that had been buried. It's been buried by somebody. He just now got it. So he packed the treasure and came to Mecca and became a rich man. He was so benevolent to the extent that the pot with which he cooked food to give people free, it was a ladder that would be climbed into the pot. Ibn Judan. He don't want to give somebody one thing. You don't ask him for one camel. You tell him to buy you one 2008 Mercedes Benz E-Class? No. Ask him for 10, 15, 20. Aha. He will give you. Be not like him. So when he died, the prophet was alive when he died. But he had not become a messenger. Some say he had become a messenger. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Judan died when he was not a Muslim. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet Muhammad, will all those his benevolence, those his good deeds, those earnings, those things he was doing to people, will it benefit him? The Prophet said, la. لأنه ما آمن بربه أو كما قال. He never believed in Allah. But if he had believed in Allah, يكفر الله عنه السيئة ويعظم له أجرا. If he had believed, all those things would be counted, and the good ones he did, even when he was a mushrik, would be counted plus for him. But he did not believe. So you see the importance of having iman before we die. So if a person has his shirk or any of the forms of shirk and dies upon it without repenting, all those Muslims who had gone to Oshun with hope, with love, with respect, with reverence for Oshun, they should take shahada again. It's good for them. They will reassure themselves. And if they have taken, it is not for you to go and start saying they have not taken. Because it is a matter between they and their Lord. So they should make shahada again. And those who have gone to seed, they should not go back again next time. Those who fear Agama should stop fearing it. The women have seen Agama and nothing has happened to those women. And nothing will actually happen. Wallahi. Women have seen. How many women have seen? The one in Ibadan Ololu. Women saw it many times. Nothing happened. Even the Agama itself, how many times have people have to open their windows to look at Agama and nothing happened to those women? Nothing will happen. It is from the gimmicks of Shaitan to cause a scare. Want you to fear. But they have some things. They have genes walking around with them. For that fear to be in place, those genes can strangulate one or two human beings who are not well fortified. That is why we as Muslims, when we don't fear those things, we must fortify ourselves. How do we fortify ourselves? Recite Ayat al-Kursi regularly. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'akhudhuhu. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He said, when you recite these things, the jinns following them will run away. He said, if you see one Sufi Sheikh, one person saying that he's flying in the sky, just sit down and start reciting Ayat al-Kursi. You see, you fall on the ground. Ibn Taymiyyah said it in Al-Furqan. He will fall on the ground. Your weapon against shirk and the people of shirk is what? Ayatul Kursi. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. How do we know that the weapon is this? It was Shaitan that said it. Their leader. He said, when you read this thing, you will run away. Who did he tell? Abu Huraira. And who confirmed this? The Prophet Muhammad. He said on that day, Sadaqaka wa huwa kazoo. He has told you the truth, but he's a liar. But this one that he said is what? True. The Prophet, Shaitan said, when you recite Ayat al-Kursi, we will not come near you. We will run away. Know this, it's your weapon. Ayat al-Kursi. Don't joke with it. Read it at all times. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. To help us sustain your iman. There is not a time that the people of shirk have not threatened the people of tawheed as iman. Hold this on your hands. There is not a time the people of shirk have not threatened the people of iman. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they threatened him. Saleh. They threatened him. Nuh. They threatened him that our idols will do you something. Some God will do you something. They don't have power to do anything to anybody. All the power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who fears Allah never fears anything, anybody. This is what you should have in mind. By the time people begin to dissolve and be scared and then loving those things, they are knocking the doors of shame. The Kaaba in those days, when they put idols there, the companions, they remove all the idols, they kick it with their legs. I will end with this story about one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In what came to my mind was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Khalid ibn Walid. Praise Allah. Khalid ibn Walid. It was said that Allah and Al-Uzza were worshipped in Ta'if. This narration is in Akhbar al-Makkah of Al-Imam al-Fatih. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Fath of Makkah, he said he should go and destroy that idol. When he went there, he just broke down the idol and came back to the Prophet in Makkah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet asked him alayhi wa sallam, what did you see, O Khalid? He said, I didn't see anything. Say, go back. Go back. Yeah, you have not finished the job. When he went back, as he raised his armament in destruction of that plague further, a black woman came out of the place. It was a jinn in the form of a black woman. It used to be inside the idol. When they talk, it opens its eyes and its mouth. So they say, oh, their God has opened its mouth. God has opened his eyes. So when Khalid saw it, he cut off the head. Praise Allah. He cut off the head and destroyed it. When he came back to the Prophet Muhammad, he asked him, what did you do? He said, when I saw it, I cut it off. The point of reference in this narration is that فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُوا. Don't fear them. Many of the people who worship idols indirectly, it is because they are afraid that if they don't do it, if they don't do it, they have to go and wash the head somewhere. All these things are from the gimmicks of Shaitan with which he has deceived the people. Come up as Muslims, come up as people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. People who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. And all these things will fear you, my brothers. They will have respect for you. They will never come near where you are. And when they come, Allah will make you victorious over them. So that is the reason why this Imam cited these two verses that Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi
وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ.
If a person dies not having shirk, Allah may forgive him as he likes.
يَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ الشِّرْكِ يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ.
He forgives whomever he likes.
And then the second verse, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ.
But certainly, مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, whoever joins any partner with Allah,
فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ,
Allah has made al-jannah haram for him. The only people Allah has made al-jannah haram for are who? Kafirun.
This is evidence that anybody who does shirk and dies upon shirk,
فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ,
Allah has made al-jannah prohibited for him.
وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ,
his last place of residence is the fire.
وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ,
evildoers don't have any person to help them.
So the fourth point, the first thing that removes the Islam of people is what?
الشِّرْكُ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ.
And as we explained, you see that ibadah is wide. So you see that this point is wide, but this single point here is like a concise way of bringing all these points together, making us understand that the 10 are not necessarily restrictive, but it's a matter of the fact that they occur a lot, most commonly. And other aspects of shirk, one way or the other, and kufr, they are connected to this 10. As we have seen that many other aspects of shirk and kufr are connected to this one that we have mentioned. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us end as Muslims, to strengthen our iman, to make us successful Muslims in this dunya and in the akhirah. If there are 1, 2, 3 questions we'd like to answer them.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
18 brothers.
The women should send their questions across. There's a first question here from the women. What about someone who visits Oshun just for tourism? Stop visiting Oshun for tourism. It's a major thing. Stop it. You are wasting your resources that Allah has given you. And you are coming to see what Allah hates. Stop it. Don't come to Oshun again for tourism. Don't come for tourism. If you want to make tourism, spend that money, go for Umrah. Go for Umrah in Makkah. Go for Umrah, stay in Medina and all that. As a Muslim, Islam does not allow us to be going to these places. Allahu Akbar. If someone fixes his schedule away from the time for Ajema or others just to keep away from trouble, avoid unnecessary occurrences, is it shirk?
It's not shirk. But what this will tell the Muslims is that, is there any law that says the people must not open their stores at those times that Ajema is practicing Ajema? Where are the Muslim lawyers? Where are the Muslim lawyers? It is a denial of their rights as Muslims. This is what we are saying, Ikhwan. If we work in the Ministry of Tourism in Oshun, and your Commissioner of Tourism is saying that you as a Muslim should go to Oshun to decorate Oshun, it's already violating your fundamental rights as a Muslim. I tell you this. Can you tell a pastor to come, because he's working in the Ministry of Tourism in Oshun, to come and decorate inside the masjid? They will not come. The conscious ones amongst them will not come. The very conscious ones will not come. Let them stop violating our rights. This is what we are talking about. We have to wake up from the slumber. All the Muslims in Ijebuland, as big as they are, as large as they are in their number, wallahi, there are a lot of Muslims in Ijebuland. Over 65-70% are Muslims. But what kind of Muslims are they? This is the issue. The Muslims have mixed up a lot of things in their Islam. So apart from Eid al-Kabir, they slaughtered the ram on Eid al-Kabir, that's over. Islam means much more than that. Even Salah, there are big masajids in these lands that no people pray, perform Salah in them. Especially, you hardly find young people in the masjid. When you find people in the masajids, in Ijebuland and other places, there are just old men. The young people don't have time now for Islam. Why? What's wrong with them? If it is not, if they don't have Islam, they will not have honor. Islam will bring them honor and reputation. So where are the Muslim lawyers? Institute a case in the court. Do we say because on the day of Juma nobody should go out? Do we say because on the day of Ibn Kabir nobody should go out? Don't be surprised that the first group of the people who will oppose you are Muslims. Here you are. So-called. So people should understand that these things violate Islam of people. And they bring a lot of difficulty to the people. May Allah make things easy for us. So when you know these people come and start making trouble and all that, then you can close the store and go away. So in by way of avoiding the trouble. But the rest of the Muslims who are in the position of changing these things, when they don't change it, Allah will ask them. The Muslims in the position to change it, when they don't change it, Allah will ask them. The Muslims in the position to change it, when they don't change it, Allah will ask them. Look at this conversely. Do we understand? We don't understand. The Muslims in position who should change it. If they don't change it, Allah will ask them. What about the Muslims in position who do otherwise? It's a very dangerous thing, brother. Do we understand now? May Allah forgive us. May Allah strengthen these Muslims to be able to do it. Because sometimes when we know that they have a duty, sometimes they too, they know that they have those duties. But they just find that they have said too much more than that has incapacitated them. Yes. The system they run is self-destructive. Yes. The system, my own duty is to talk about shirk and iman. Go. Yes, one. Please, let's make it very, very, very snappy. What is salam? Straight to the question. If the parent curses the child because he's not doing what they want him or her to do, which is contradictory to the injunctions of Allah, should he beg the parents? Yes, he should beg them. He should beg them by way of making peace with them, by way of calming them down. But he should still not follow what they say. Don't follow what they say, but calm them down. Do you understand? Don't follow what they say. Allah to pay huma kim. Calm them down. Wa sahibuhuma fi dunya ma'ruf. Now, number two. Alayhi salam. How do we maintain distinctive and sound love for Allah? Make zikr a lot and read Quran a lot. Allah will put His love in your heart. Number three. Alayhi salam. Is it allowed? That's the question. Is it allowed for us to keep money in riba-based banks? If you fear that the money may be taken away from you. By way of you are in danger. You know how much you keep. So when you want to take, you know how much you are taking. Although every person who opens an account in a riba-based bank is supporting the bank. Yes. Once you open an account, you are giving credence. You are giving support to that bank. So reduce your interactions with the bank as much as possible. Reduce your interactions with the bank as much as possible. So it is when you don't have a choice, then reduce them. If your salary is paid, must be paid in the bank. Let your salary be paid in the bank, collect the money and go away. If you must have money transfer and it must be through the bank, get the transfer, collect the money and go away. But reduce your interactions with the bank as much as possible. Now, alayhi salam. Alaykum salam. Christmas is also an idolatry practice. Christmas, Christmas thanks to the Christians themselves say, don't say why you Christians. Christians themselves say that Christmas is idolatry. It has no roots in Christianity, basically. Christmas and New Year, they are periods, they are festivals of idols. And that is the reason why it is haram to eat what they cook for you at those times too. It is prohibited to eat food for idolatry festivals. There is a hadith in Sunan Abu Dawood on that, and the hadith is authentic. We will still come back to some of these things. So Christmas is part of it. When they slaughter in Christmas, don't eat it. When they slaughter in New Year, there's nothing like that. Don't eat it. The New Year of the Muslims is the first of Muharram. And yet, Islam does not say we should celebrate it. That is another excess. Islam does not give us to celebrate first of Muharram. There is no festival in first of Muharram for Muslims. So don't celebrate it. It's not Ibadah. You know the way of knowing Ibadah, so? How must it be? It must be in the Quran or it must be in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. And we only have three festivals. Two in a year, one weekly. The weekly festival is Jummah. And the two other festivals are annual. And that is Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Qadir. No thought. There is nothing like Eid al-Mawlud. Eid al-Mawlud is an innovation. It's not Ibadah. It's not Islam. It's far away from Islam. Even when Muslims are giving public holiday on those days, the politics and the democracy around that are things that are well known to us, inshallah. Number 6 or 7. If it's compulsory for somebody that has just accepted Islam to change his or her name, if the name the person is bearing is a name that contradicts Islamic rules on naming, you should change the name. Like a person bearing Nar, fire, you should change that name. Like a person bearing Shaitan, name of a devil, you should change the name. Like somebody bearing Lucifer, you should change such names. And all other names that give praise and glory to institutions other than those of Islam. It is compulsory for those people to change those names. But it is encouraged for other people bearing names like Emmanuel to change their name, because that name Emmanuel does not show them as Muslims. And Islam wants us to indicate ourselves as Muslims. So it's encouraged to change such names as Emmanuel, even when they don't indicate shirk or any other thing. But they better recognize them as other than Muslims. Those names have now become names that are known with non-Muslims. So leave that and take a name, adopt a name that is known with Muslims. Emmanuel was said to be one of the names of Isa alayhi salam, so it can be Isa. So it may be obligatory in some cases depending on the name, and it may be only encouraged in some cases depending on the name. But it's not allowed to change the name of the father. An individual cannot change his father's name. He can change your own name, but you can't change your father's name, no matter the name. Alayhi salam. The next number. Okay, number 5. Alaykum salam. Yes.
Because of the respect of an imam, who is your staff, he now commands to be one of the cards that he has carried to the cloud of the land. It is not in line with the
Alaykum salam.
So, does he take one out of the plan?
It may and it may not. If you follow that imam because you think you can't do any other thing apart from what he is saying, no matter who has said that, whether it's Sunnah or Quran or anything, if it's what the imam says that you will follow, it amounts to shirk. The shirk that takes a person out of Islam. Because la ta'ata lil makhluq fi ma'siyati al-khaliq. And it also shows mahabba, that where your mahabba lies, the person you don't want to offend is that ustad. Allah can do anything. You understand me? Allah can do anything. Prophet can do anything. But this ustaz, I will not disobey him. When you take a person like that, you are committing shirk, you are worshipping that individual. But if it is just an issue of not wanting to cause a trouble, then look for a good way of resolving that matter with him. Perhaps go to him behind and let him understand that this is not the sunnah, this is the sunnah, and all those things. Do you understand? So that's an easy way of resolving the matter. So that's why I say it may and it may not. In the second case, it will not. In the first case, it will. Number 7. 8. 7 now. What is our disposition to Christians who hate our religion and hate us as individuals, even though they are our parents? We should not love them. Firstly, because we love Allah. When you love Allah, you love the people that Allah loves, and you don't love the people that hate Allah and that Allah does not like. Allah mentions it in the Quran. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu la tattakhizu aduwwi wa aduwwakum awliya. And that was the practice of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. So you must not love them. But if you have a way, especially when they are parents, of being nice to them such that it will be reducing that hatred they have for Islam, do that. Especially when they are parents. There's a story of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and his mother. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar. Sakhar means stone. You see, he didn't change the name of his father. But his own name was changed. He was named Abdurrahman. Do you understand now? His mother hated the Prophet Muhammad. He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that some things my mother says about you, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. So one day Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. One day Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet Muhammad. Say, O Prophet of Allah, I have a request. Say, what is it? Say, pray that Allah should guide my mother to Islam. The Prophet said, Allahumma ihdi umma Abi Huraira. Allahumma ihdi umma Abi Huraira. Oh Allah, guide the mother of Abu Huraira. When Abu Huraira left the house, radiallahu anhu, it was because his mother had abused the Prophet, had spoken ill of him, and he came to complain to the Prophet, my mother is abusing you. I can't even say what she said. Beg Allah that he should guide her. And Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, begged Allah to guide her. Abu Huraira said, when the Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, I was happy because I knew that she was already guided. He was running to the house. Let him go and see the result of the dua of the Prophet Muhammad. So when he got near the courtyard of the house, the mother said, Allah rizqika ya Abu Huraira, stay where you are. You know what she was doing? She was already taking her ghusl because she had accepted Islam. When she came out of the bathroom, she was already wearing hijab. So if Abu Huraira had cursed his mother because she was cursing the Prophet and abused the mother because she was abusing the Prophet, he would not have gotten her into Islam. Yes, he did not like what the mother was doing. But yet, he did not fight her. He was looking for a way of bringing her to Islam. And he was trying to organize himself between two ends. The end of the parents and the end of the Prophet Muhammad. Two laws, two great serious laws that disturbs the mind of an individual. He wasn't even able to say to his mother what, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what his mother was saying about him. By way of reducing, maybe if he was saying it, the Prophet would not make the dua. Allahu a'lam. So we have to know how to manage this angle, especially when it has to do with our parents. May Allah grant us the wisdom to do it. The next number. There are other things after that, but I'll stop where I want to use because of time. When someone slaughters because Allah has favored him with something, Allah favors you with something. You slaughter, it is the meat you need. You want to give people meat. Your intention is the meat, not the blood. not the slouching. The slouching is just a way of getting to your primary aim. So it's not shirk. But if you say because you have been made director, so blood must steal, you are turning to something else. You are knocking another door altogether. Let's understand this part. The next number. Alaykum salam. Can we slaughter during Christmas or New Year so that we can prevent our family from doing that? We may not be falling into issues of shirk, but don't do it. It is from the aspect of zabh that is bid'ah. There are zabah that is bid'ah. That is slaughtering at a time that the Sharia has not ordered us to slaughter. Like somebody saying that he has a child and he is able to buy the ram to slaughter for the akikah of the child instead of slaughtering on the seventh day. Because the ninth day would be a Sunday, the person now slaughters on the ninth day. Slaughtering on the ninth day is an innovation. Even when the slaughtering is not intended to please any other than Allah. But he has slaughtered on a day at a time that the Sharia has not regulated. He was able on the seventh day, but he chose the ninth day for a particular intention that is known to him alone. It is wrong. Likewise, slaughtering in places, locations, that the Sharia has not stipulated. Like somebody saying that he has to take a ram to somewhere to slaughter. If he does not slaughter, it cannot be a ram. It cannot be a slaughtering. It has to be slaughtered in a particular place. These are aspects of innovation. Or slaughtering a thing that the Sharia has not encouraged us to slaughter at a particular time that the Sharia has encouraged us to slaughter another thing. For example, during the time of Idul Kabir, if a person slaughters a fowl, with the intention of making adhiya, this person has slaughtered the slaughtering of innovation. Because it is not that item that the Sharia has stipulated that person is slaughtering. What you are saying regarding your question is with respect to time. We must not slaughter at a time that the Sharia has not encouraged us to slaughter by way of worship in any form. Do we understand? That is not to say if the day you want to slaughter a ram, you want to eat, coincides with the day of Christmas. That is something else altogether. Coincidence. And it has nothing to do with Christmas, inshallah. But some of the early Muslims, deliberately, they don't make these things coincide. There are some Muslims deliberately, they will dress negatively. They will be fasting on those days. By way of contradicting those people who will be happy on those days. Although if it is not the day of fasting also, fasting on that day is also an innovation. Our religion is so nice, full of information, wallahi. And everything is guided and coded, even more coded than the laws people carry about today. Everything has its own way. His own form, his own rule, guiding it. Okay. A father that is using the jinn, can he be the wali of a woman? In marriage, it depends on how he's using the jinn. It is not every person that is using the jinn that is prohibited. There it is. When they use the jinn and make things of shirk to appease the jinn, then the use of the jinn is shirk and prohibited. When they have relationship with the jinn, that does not involve anything. Because amongst the jinn, some of them are Muslims. Al-Imam Ibn Jawzi in Sifatul Safwa reported one of the tabi'un who used to make Qiyamul Layl, who would make Qiyamul Layl in his house, late night prayer, regularly in his house. He fell in and was not able to make it. Some 2-3 individuals came to him and greeted him, "Sheikh, we came to greet you, please, sorry, how is your health now?" He asked them, "Who are you?" He said, "We are the jinns living in your house. When you are praying Qiyamul Layl, we are praying with you. So the last 2-3 days, we have not been praying because you too have not been praying." Do we understand? This is a dealing amongst the jinns. and human. This kind of a dealing is accepted in Islam. During the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he went to distribute, to settle a matter amongst the people. And it occurred that on his way back, he had to distribute some zakawat that had been collected. So, he sent back later than was expected. People were, where is Umar, where is Umar? There was a woman in Medina who had a jinn who used to come to her. The jinn was a Muslim, she was a Muslim. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari told the woman, ask your jinn to go and look for Umar for us. And the jinn went and looked for Umar and came back and told them in Medina that Umar had branched another place. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and others amongst the scholars say this kind of a dealing amongst human beings and jinn, they are correct. Allah himself told us about jinns and the Prophet Muhammad now. When those jinns came to the Prophet in Surah Al-Ahqaf, what did they say? When they returned to their people, وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنْذِرِينَ. What did they say? They went to their people and started to preach Islam. If you are a scholar, well-versed in Islam, a jinn can be coming to you to learn Islam, to learn hadith, to learn fiqh, to learn aqidah, and he will go back and teach his people. That happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our sharia is sharia that's meant for we and the jinn. So the Muslims amongst the jinn, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Ibn Kathir reported it in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. One day he was making tawaf. He said he noticed somebody, this one I don't think is a human being. Tawaf in Makkah. He said, so when he went out, I followed him. As he was moving, I was pursuing him. He said, when he went towards Mina, I knew that something is wrong. I started shouting, hey, you going, who are you? He said, I'm so and so amongst the jinn. So what do you want? So I came to make tawaf and I'm going back home to my people. So our sharia is not, my brother, we have to have a large heart to be real Muslims. And don't forget, salata khafuna. Salata khafuhum wa khafuni in kuntum mu'minin. Do we understand? It depends on the relationship between the people and the jinn. But all these alufat and alufat, they use this jinn to deceive people, to usurp people's wealth, to cause harm, to harm people, to lead them to shirk, to say they are protecting them. This is the problem about that. Otherwise, if you have jinn, there are a lot of narrations. But when we come to issues of sayyid and all that, if Allah gives us the opportunity and time, we will mention, like today now, we've gone beyond our time. We didn't have enough time at all. But we just have to stop here. Let's stop here, Ikhwani and sisters. But inshallah, this will be our last class for this year until Muharram. Bi-ibnillah. Because myself, alaykum as-salam. You have a question? You say what? Rawaniya. What do you mean? Jinns. When those people are, if those alufat them now, they are the ones who say Rawaniya. I don't know what they mean by Rawaniya. I can't even understand the tarkib of the kalima in Arabic language. What we have are jinns. And amongst the jinns, minna salihun wa minna duna zalika kunna taraiqa kidada. They said, and Allah reported to us in the Quran about them, that there are some of them that are salihun, pious people. وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Some of them are not pious at all. كُنَّا فَرَائِقَ كِدَدَ. We have every group of people amongst us. Ulama say, anything you find amongst human beings, there is equivalent amongst the jinns. So they have different types of jinns. Muslim, kafir, idol worshipper, Buddhist, all kinds of people. Mushrik, worshipper of Ashu, you find it amongst the jinn. Worshipper of Agema, worshipper of Shango, anything. As you have amongst human beings, you also have the equivalence amongst the jinn. As you have alufa amongst human beings, who will wear white galabia and deceive people, likewise you have alufa amongst the jinn, who may be wearing anything amongst the jinn, But they will be supporting those among the human beings, to deceive other human beings and mislead them. If this is what the people are calling Rawaniya, Allahu Alam, I don't know. But it's most likely these are what they refer to. They are companions, those are Lufa. They are fellow jinns that in which they are doing 419 together. They are the people they always refer to as Rawaniya. Because that word is very strange to me, Allahu Alam. It's one of the things you find out about those Alifa. They will be giving you adhkars, words that you can't understand their tarkib. Their word structure is strange in Arabic language. Rawkayayu, what does it mean? Yawkawkayayu, Yawkayayu, about 12 or 7 of them in Fawzul Azim. And in other books that they read, Shamsallah. You may have a jinn going and with these microphones, who will go home with it? By the time you come here tomorrow, you find microphone here. The companions had a lot of experiences with them. The early Muslims, likewise the Muslims today. The issue is make your own Islam to be sound Islam. You will see the results. You make your own Iman to be sound Iman, knowledge based. You will see the results, you will see the impact in yourself. And let's not allow these alufas, they've mixed up, they caused a lot of mixed up amongst the Muslims and regarding what Islam is. People are saying Islam. When you move around now, they say you are afar. The first thing people think is that they can come to you to pray that somebody wants to marry, they don't want that person to marry, these kind of things. No! The learned person in Islam should be able to guide the Muslim about his life according to what the Quran says and according to what the Sunnah says. It's not a native doctor. And Afar is not a native doctor. Please let us correct these impressions. The Afar are not native doctors. But what many of the people are doing today is making the people to think that any person Muslim is a native doctor. They will even say if you have not started, you are a potential native doctor. Why? So all these things must stop. They are not part of Islam in any way, and Islam abhors them. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our shortcomings. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us guided, to make us Muslims until we die. I was just going to say that our next class will be in Muharram, the fourth, inshallah, the fourth Yawm al-Ahad, Sunday in Muharram. We are going to revisit our class. We are going to restart our class. Because I will, inshallah, also be traveling for the Hajj. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the journey easy for me, to accept my acts of worship, to forgive my mistakes, to make me a sincere individual.